Good morning. You made it through all the way to the end of the week. Let's open to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 11. Verses 1 through 6. From the NASB. When Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John, while in prison, heard the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who does not take offense at me." Let's pray this morning. Father, we just pray that you would reveal who you are, and God, we pray that you would take away any misconceptions of what our ideas of who you are. Lord, we just ask for your presence here this morning, and we ask that you would begin to fill this place with your grace. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So here in Matthew 11, John the Baptist is in prison for publicly preaching against King Herod. And he hears about how Jesus has been raising the dead and healing the sick and saving sinners. And now he's in prison. And in verse 2, he sends this question. He asks this question, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we look for someone else?" And so now it seems like he's having doubts about who Jesus is. And he's asking, you know, "Jesus, are you the one? Or should we bypass you and look for someone else?" And as you read that, you know, it's kind of a peculiar question. It's like, John the Baptist, how could you even ask a question like that, you know? I mean, you've seen Jesus in action. You said even yourself in John chapter 1, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," right? So it's like, what is this second thoughts, or what is this? Where is this question coming from? But I think as we examine John's question, I think it's very relevant and very a relevant question for our lives, because I think it's a similar question that many of us have asked or still ask today. That when you're going through a situation that you never expected, where you're in some sort of prison of your soul, maybe you've asked, God, you know, I thought life after university would be a lot different than this. It's not what I expected at all, you know, and our faith gets shaken and rattled. Are you looking out for me or what? Are you even there, God? You know, or maybe a woman who discovers that her husband is having an affair and they get a divorce, and all of a sudden she's a single mom with two kids. And she thinks to herself, "God, never in a million years did I ever think that this would ever happen to me, that I would be in this situation. I mean, I've been a good practicing Christian my whole life. My entire life I've devoted my life to you, and how could this happen to me?" And so now we begin to have doubts and we begin to have questions. You know, "Jesus, are you really the one? Or should I really look somewhere else?" Or maybe an older couple in their 50s discover that there's no money in their bank account, and they're going to have to continue to work, and they wonder, where's God in all of this? Where's Christ in all this? And so the question comes up again, are you really the one that we're supposed to follow? Are you the one that we're really supposed to give our lives to? Are you really the one? Or should we devote our attention and our effort into something else? I mean, I'm sure we've all had times where we've expected God to do something special in our lives, and he didn't really come through exactly the way that we wanted. And I'm sure we've wondered before, "Jesus, are you really the one? Or should I look somewhere else? Or should I devote my attention somewhere else? Should I devote my time somewhere else? Are you really the one?" And I think we can appreciate where John is coming from when he asks this question, because I don't think he expected to be in prison himself. I think he expected Jesus to come and punish all the Herods of the world. He's probably thinking of the prophecy in Isaiah 11, where it says the Messiah would strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he would slay the wicked. You know, John the Baptist was probably remembering the prophecy in Isaiah 61, where it says that God's anointed one would proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. He even said in Matthew chapter 3 that Jesus would gather the wheat into his barn and burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so, you know, I'm sure John, understanding Scripture and the prophecies of the Messiah, was expecting this to be the Messiah. But here's the thing with Jesus. Instead of preaching fire, Jesus preached grace. And instead of punishing sinners, he reached out to sinners. And instead of ushering in a political kingdom, he was constantly preaching and talking about a heavenly kingdom. And so John may have been wondering, naturally, Jesus, are you the one, or should we wait for someone else? Should we look for someone else? Of course, the Jews are still asking that question, and they've bypassed Jesus. And, you know, I'm sure they've asked, is Jesus the one, or should we look for someone else? And they've decided to look for someone else, and they're still waiting. And so I'm sure John, you can understand John, you know, why is Jesus letting the Herods of this world get away with murder and injustice? Why is he letting an innocent man like me sit in prison? Why has my life come to an end like this? Jesus, are you the one? Or should we wait for someone else? Should we expect someone else? I think it's okay to ask questions like that. I don't think God is threatened. I think it's okay to say sometimes, God, I just don't understand. What's your will? What's your plan? Help me to understand why things are happening the way that they are. But I believe that as you put your faith in Christ, he begins to answer the questions that we have, and he answers it in this way, beginning in verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." In other words, he's saying, look, John, just take a look at my track record. Look at the people I've helped. Look at the people I've healed. Look at the people whose lives have been changed. Look at the evidence. The greatest evidence of Jesus saying who he is comes from the changed lives of his followers. If I were to ask any three people in this room, how has Jesus changed your life? You would have incredible testimonies. There'd be people in our congregation saying, well, I was once an alcoholic and Jesus changed my life. I was struggling with depression, but Jesus changed my life. I was a person that had no hope, but Jesus changed my life. And we could go on and on of all of the testimonies of lives changed because of Christ. That I was once lost, but now I'm found. That I was blind, but now I see. And so the evidence of, or the answer to the question, Jesus, are you the one? The thing with John the Baptist is that Jesus was not the Messiah that John the Baptist expected. He wasn't the Messiah that John expected. Jesus was not the Messiah that the people expected. And so now that raises a great question that I want to ask you. What kind of Messiah, what kind of Jesus, what kind of Savior do you expect in your life? What does Christ look like in your life? Is he a liberator or is he a stern judge? Is he a distant, sort of abstract figure, or is he a personal, intimate Savior? Sometimes we form ideas of Jesus that aren't true. We think of him as a wish granter or a genie in a bottle. You know, Jesus, help me find a good job. Jesus, help me find a parking spot in IFC. You know, Jesus, help me find a date on Friday night, tonight, please. You know, we have this image of Jesus being a wish granter. But then the question is, what happens when those wishes are not answered? And ultimately, in the years ahead, what happens if Jesus doesn't answer or grants the wish of the prayers for cancer to go away or for a child to be born? What happens then? And so now maybe it is a good idea to sort of ask questions and doubt the images that we have of Christ, because maybe the idea of Christ that we have is not the right one. And maybe that's what John the Baptist was going through as he was sitting in prison. Jesus, are you really the one? Because the one that I'm expecting, you are not it. You're not behaving in the way that I think you're supposed to behave. You're not behaving in the way that the Messiah is supposed to behave. Jesus, are you the one? And as we examine our lives and as we're in the situations that we're in, as we're in difficult problems that we're in, I'm sure it's easy to ask and doubt and wonder, Jesus, are you really the one? Or should I take my efforts and go somewhere else? How do you think of Jesus? How do you think of Jesus? Maybe you think of him as demanding and overbearing, and he's about someone that you just follow a bunch of rules, do this, don't do this. Well, it says in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Or maybe you think of Jesus as someone who's very distant and unconcerned with what happens with us. Then you need to think of Matthew 28, where he says, I will always be with you, even to the ends of the age. Or maybe you think of Jesus as someone who is really easy to follow. You shouldn't have any problems, that he makes sure he takes care of you and he makes sure that everything goes the way that you planned. Well, then you've got to look at John 16, and he says that in this world you're going to have trouble and problems, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Or maybe you think Jesus is just a good teacher, nothing more. But the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and Hades. Or maybe you think as Jesus as one of many ways to heaven, not the only way. But then you need to learn John 14:6, for I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And so John the Baptist had all of these different thoughts and ideas of Jesus, and maybe we have all of these different thoughts and ideas of who Jesus is, and that's why it's really important to get in his word, to learn about Christ yourself through his word, through everything, not just one part of him, not just a little bit of part of him, but all of who Jesus is. And so John the Baptist, as he's in prison, is having second thoughts, and he finds out that the real Jesus is not what his preconceived notions of what Jesus is. But in fact, Jesus is better than he could ever imagine. If I could have Yvain come. Jesus says in verse 6, blessed is he who does not take offense at me. A better translation would be probably, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Or my translation would be, blessed is the one who does not fall away because of the misconceptions of me. And I think maybe that's sort of the problems that we have. If you look at any of your friends that have maybe used to be Christians and now no longer Christians, or people who used to come to church and now don't want to be believers, this is what verse 6 is addressing. Blessed is the one who does not fall away because of the misconceptions of me. It would have been so easy for John the Baptist to really deny and doubt who Jesus was as the Messiah. But Jesus understood that, and he says, blessed is the one who does not fall away because of their misconceptions of who I am. Blessed is the one who accepts me for who I am, even if they don't really understand or always understand what is happening in this world. So maybe asking those questions, Jesus, are you really the one? Jesus, are you really the one? Or should I look somewhere else? Maybe that's a good question to ask. Because maybe in asking that question, you will truly find the heart of God for you. My prayer is that you're going to see Jesus as someone who loves you unconditionally. No matter if you're in prison, no matter if you're tired, no matter if you're weary, no matter if you're confused, no matter if your heart is broken, that you will find the Jesus that loves you unconditionally. Even when you're not sure the direction of your life, even though you're not sure the plan that God has for you, through it all, you will learn about who Jesus truly is. And as Pastor Salamat said yesterday, that you would learn to trust in him because his word and his ways are perfect. As we look at our life, man, it's been totally not perfect. But as we come to the end of the story, you're going to look back and say, absolutely. Everything that I've gone through, God is able to use it for his kingdom and his glory. Absolutely, it's perfect. Even though it pained Christ to go on the cross, it was the perfect plan. Even though he suffered and died, it was the perfect plan. And one day we're going to reap the glory of heaven. And we're going to look back at our lives and say, that was the perfect plan. That was the perfect plan. You can trust him. Let's bow our heads and let's pray.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Kingdom. Hosanna. 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 Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna.
Let's begin to intercede for our community and pray for those who are ill. And just want to thank you for your selflessness, for praying for them every day. And I know that they probably appreciate it too, and you haven't been able to hear the words, thank you, from them directly. But let's continue to pray and ask the Lord to have mercy and to heal. And so let's pray in faith and with persistence. And so the names are on the screen, and so let's lift them up in prayer. Let's begin to lift up those who are suffering from cancer and still need salvation. And so let's pray that God would truly reveal himself and that they would receive him. And so let's pray for other infirmities also. Let's lift them up right now.
Thank you.
Let's begin to intercede for those who are looking for employment and jobs. And so the names are on the screen. So let's fervently pray for them as time is running out for some of them. So let's just ask the Lord to step in and open doors. Let's pray. Let's pray for our mission focus for Friday, and let's pray for our local ministries and for the local churches and all the YWAM ministries in Hong Kong. Let's pray for all the ministries, and so let's continue to lift them up and ask God to truly use these local ministries in unity to change the atmosphere and environment of Hong Kong. So let's lift them up right now. Let's lift up our Shanti outreach that is going on right now, and today is the last day for it, and it's been wonderful. It's been a group of about 15 to 20 kids, and they've been learning about Christ, and some of them are Muslim, and they're learning about the stories of Jesus, and they're singing the songs, and they're learning the stories, and they're praying the prayers, and so let's ask God for a breakthrough for this group of kids. Let's pray for the outreach.
Pray for your blessing over them right now, God. Lord, we just pray that you do an incredible work, God, in their hearts. God, we pray that it would be everlasting life change. Lord, we just pray that you bless, God, the teachers and the YWAM team, God, and John and Cora right now. We thank you, Lord Jesus.
Let's pray for our SP ministries, for worship team, AV team, welcoming hospitality, barista. Let's ask God to guide them and lead them and bless them and use them. So let's intercede for them right now.
Father, we just pray for our worship team. God, we ask that you would use them in a powerful way, God, to usher in your presence, God, to lead your people into the throne room, God, into the Holy of Holies, oh God. Lord, we pray for our AV team, God. I pray that they would have just an intuitive understanding, God, as your Spirit leads them, God, for the places where they're not able to, God. We pray that you lead them. And Father, we pray for our welcoming team, God. We pray that you would bring more people, God, and better organization.
And let's pray for our weekend activities. This weekend, we have outreaches in the city. We have our Sunday services, and so let's just lift up our weekend to God.
Bless the time, Lord. We just pray to bless our services, God. Would you bring people, God, to be touched by your word?
Father, we thank you for this morning. God, we pray for our weekend, and God, that we would be able to give and dedicate this weekend to you. And Lord, we just pray that you would reveal that you are the one that we are looking for, that you are the one that satisfies, that you are the one that is everything, that you are the one that matters, and that you're the only one that we need. And so, Father, we just want to be in your presence, God, and we ask for your grace today. God, we thank you for just this gift of life. And God, we pray that you'd give us a different perspective of life. Help us to serve you. And God, we intercede for those who cannot stand the gap for themselves, God. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I encourage you to pray and seek God, and have a great weekend, and we'll see you Sunday.